You're listening to Valley Edition. I'm Joe Moore. May is almost here, and that means we're entering the peak of the growing season, those sunny days and warm temperatures that make the San Joaquin Valley the most productive ag region in the world. But in this drought year, everything is a little bit different. Here to tell us more is Todd Fichette. He is the associate editor of Western Farm Press, a trade publication that covers agriculture throughout the western U.S. Todd is based in Tulare and covers ag here in the Central Valley. You can read his work online at westernfarmpress.com. Todd, welcome.
Thank you very much.
You had a very interesting article in the publication about a week or so ago about the impact the drought is having on not just farmers but ag research programs, specifically the UC ag research programs here in the Central Valley. What sort of impact are we talking about there?
That's widespread. The University of California is a land-grant institution here in California. And so they do the work with the growers. You have farm advisors in a bunch of different crops. And their ability to do research is based on, one, if they have cooperators, they have actual commercial farmers working with them. And two, in several areas of the state, you have research farms like the Westside Research Center, Kearney Research Center in Fresno County. And they need water for the crops that they're working with and the studies they're doing. And if they don't have that water, they certainly can't do those studies. I know the Westside Research Station told all its researchers to cut back on the amount of water that they were using. They didn't micromanage them and say, okay, you can't do this specific study. It's, hey, you just need to cut by X percent and you figure that out. You figure out what that's going to mean to your research. And so some researchers just decided not to even start a project. Others were cutting back to what they thought they could for research purposes. I mean, you get a plot of land, as it gets smaller and smaller, your data set isn't as reliable as I understand. You need a certain size of plot to make your data as reliable as possible for peer review.
I was talking with a friend the other day, and they remarked that if you just drive up and down Highway 99 through the valley, you see almond orchards that are green, you see green vineyards as far as the eye can see. You wouldn't necessarily know if you didn't already have this context and reading the stories about the drought that we're in the middle of this terrible dry spell. Certainly that is not the case everywhere. You go other parts of the valley and the effects of the drought are more visible to the naked eye. But does that this say how resilient California agriculture is? But what are you seeing along those lines?
Well, farmers are resilient, and that's really what amazes me. I didn't grow up on a farm. My dad was an auto mechanic, and so that's how we ate. And for me, it's fascinating to learn about this. But there is kind of an interesting story, so to speak. You can see with your eyes new almond orchards being planted, new pistachios being planted, a lot of permanent crops being planted. And there's kind of a, well, why are we planting permanent crops if there's no water for them? Well, that has to do a lot with the price. Any of the nut crops, particularly pistachios, almonds, walnuts, the prices are – the returns to the grower is really good. And grapes, the return is pretty good to the growers from what I understand. So yeah, you look around, you see green, you think, life's grand. But farmers do what they have to do. They use drip irrigation for these plants. They're not flooding them, and so they're just putting on minute amounts of water, just what the crop needs. And it's for the untrained eye, it might be kind of a different viewpoint, so to speak.
And it also, I guess, speaks to this, the fact that the valley is not this one uniform area. Different parts of the valley are feeling the effects of this drought in different ways. Different growers and different industries are feeling it in different ways. The citrus growers kind of faced a 1-2 punch this year with last December's freeze, now the drought. Many in Tulare County are facing big problems in that they don't have a backup water supply this year. And communities of Terrabella and those areas, they're certainly feeling the pain. What are you seeing along those lines? Are growers trying to save their orchards in any way, or are they just giving up?
Oh, they're not giving up. I talked to a grower the other day, and that's the last thing on his mind is to give up. He's relatively young. He's got a young family, got a couple children in grade school, and almost kind of the Norman Rockwell type of situation. You go out there and you look. he's not given up at all. He predominantly gets surface water through the east side, and it's a long story on how east side, west side water
Frying
works.
Yeah, Frying Canal, all that stuff, yeah.
And what have you. But he does have a little bit, and when I say a little bit, I mean a little bit of well water. They don't have a large aquifer in that area of Orange Cove and what have you that the growers can draw upon. So if you're fortunate enough to be able to punch a hole in the ground and get a little bit of water, then you've got a little bit of water for your trees. And that idea is really just keeping them alive, because a tree is a long-term investment. It's not like a row crop where, okay, I can choose to plant lettuce this year, or I can choose to plant broccoli or not. And if I don't plant those, then maybe I can free up a little bit of water for a permanent crop, which are what some farmers are already doing. They're deciding not to plant row crops and free up what water they have or can get or can buy it at $1,000, $2,000 an acre foot for their trees. And trees are profitable. And so that's why you see a lot of trees right now. But oranges, for instance, they took it hard. They had that freeze in the first part of December. Cost, I can't recall the number, but it was a large number that they basically lost in terms of what it cost them to try to protect that crop and the loss of the crop itself. And now they're looking at zero allocation for water. And it's not going to be pretty, particularly for the citrus growers.
In the past few years, growers in California have faced labor shortages. Are we going to see that change this year with the drought and with so many acres out of production, especially on the west side, those workers freed up to maybe go where the jobs are?
Well, labor is certainly going to be an issue. I mean, if you talk to Farm Bureau, labor is pretty much the issue. They've got a number of issues on the table, but labor is one of them. The issue, as I see it, is not just the amount of people who are available today to pick or to plant or to do the pruning or what have you. There aren't the jobs out there today. So I'm reading stories that tell me that farm laborers are sitting around their phones waiting for somebody to call them, waiting for a job. And they can wait only so long because they have families too. And so they're going to make a decision. Do I pick up and take the whole family with me to the Salinas Valley, for instance? Can I take the family with me to the Coachella Valley to do work, or do I go? Or how many of us go? Do we leave the kids behind with grandma and grandpa, for instance, and go tend to the farms in other areas, or what? All I know is farm workers are hurting just as bad as the growers.
You cover agriculture up and down the state. In fact, you were writing just the other day online about how California's ag industry isn't just right here in the center of the state.
No.
It's everywhere.
Yeah.
Are there any parts of the state that are faring better or worse than others in this drought, and how do they relate to the valley?
Northern California might shoot me for this one, but Northern California, the Sacramento Valley, does seem to be doing a little bit better. They're arguably closer to the sources of water. You've got Shasta Lake. You've got Orville Lake. Orville Lake is on the Feather River watershed. And just recently, the senior rights, water rights growers on the Feather River watershed were told they were going to get 100% of their allocation. And, you know, if you're a West Side grower and you're hearing stories like that, wow, that's it'd be interesting to know what's going through their mind at that time. But that's good for the rice growers. And it's predominantly rice up there in the Sacramento Valley. About 90% of the acreage in those irrigation districts, I'm told, are rice. So you'll see some rice wetlands go into production this year. In fact, they're working that land right now. And that's fascinating too, because the rice is not just a crop that gets sold globally. Those rice fields are also basically private wetlands and private refuges for a lot of birds. There's millions of birds that use those lands every year and get a benefit out of them.
And those growers who don't have surface water this year are increasingly turning to their backup reserve, their groundwater supplies.
If they have it.
If they have it, exactly.
And some of them don't. They're drilling wells. There's huge costs for drilling some of these wells. I've heard anywhere from $500,000 to $1 million a well. And so that's a lot of money.
Certainly so. I've also talked to some growers now who generally are pretty averse to any talk about regulations or increased regulations, but the issue of groundwater, knowing that there's going to be water in that well when they go to draw on it. One grower I was talking with who's a large pistachio and diversified grower here in the valley was saying we need to do something at some level, whether it's locally or statewide, to look at establishing some rules as far as taking water out of the ground. Is that something that we're starting to hear more of in the ag industry right now, or at least concern about, you know, your neighbor puts in a well and all of a sudden is drawing your water down?
There is that concern. And there was an issue, for instance, up in Northern California earlier in the season when it looked like they were going to be pumping a lot. And so you and I have wells and you turn your well on and you create this what's this called a cone of depression. Well, if my well isn't deep enough to cover that, then my well might start sucking air. And so you and I might not have a good relationship after that. You've got those issues. The groundwater, something is going to have to be done because we can't really see it. I mean, we can look at a lake and we can see the lake's half full, or we can measure the water in the reservoir, but we really can't see what's underground. And so, yeah, there's a lot of talk about that. And the popular press is talking about that too. So, you know, politicians react to what they read in the newspapers as well.
Again, our guest today on Valley Edition has been Todd Fichette. He is the associate editor of Western Farm Press, a trade publication that covers agriculture throughout the western United States. Todd is based in Tulare and covers ag here in the Central Valley. You can read his work online at westernfarmpress.com and follow him on Twitter as well. Todd, thank you so much for joining us today.
Oh, thank you for having me.